Energy Agency has said in the last few minutes as well that the Middle East conflict is the largest supply disruption in the history of the global oil market. And extremely high oil prices are likely the longer the Strait of Hormuz remains blocked. That's according to a research fellow in energy security at the Royal United Services Institute has said this morning. And that's underlined, I suppose, by what happened in international markets yesterday. Donald Trump was speaking at a rally that he held in Kentucky overnight, where he said the war is over, we'll stay as long as we want, we're going to finish the job, but practically it's over, there's nothing left to hit in Iran and all as well. But that's being belied by the facts this morning that we're seeing further attacks by Israel in Beirut, in the southern suburbs of Beirut, and attacks on Bahrain on oil infrastructure, and two further tankers that were attacked and set alight in the Strait of Hormuz yesterday, which brings the number of tankers that were attacked in the Strait since the war began to 16. And as I said, causing the price of a barrel of oil to go over $100 yesterday evening, and probably similar today. All of this having an impact, I suppose, on the prices that we pay as well, having a huge impact on the region. The 2,000 people that have died so far, more people dying this morning, 7 killed in an attack in Beirut by the Israeli Defence Forces as well, and likely more to die today as the human toll climbs on this one. Shortly before coming on air, I spoke to Sinn Féin finance spokesperson, Deputy Piers Doherty, and I put it to him that we have this death and destruction going on, and we have the knock-on economic effects as well, and asked him what he wants the government to do about it.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's two parts to this here. The first thing we need is we need a cessation here in the Middle East, and we need calm heads, and we need the government to be playing its role and pulling every lever that it can. But then more domestically, when we look at the effects that this the attacks on Iran and the counterattacks from Iran are having, it is on ordinary people, it's on consumers, it's on individuals, it's on families and workers right across the state. And it probably comes, Jerry, on the back of a cost of living crisis. We know that prices have been rising steadily, whether it's food, electricity, whether it's rent, whether it's student fees. We've seen government put up some of those prices themselves and put more pressure and families. But to me, you know, the price of diesel, petrol and home heating oil now skyrocketing just is the straw that's breaking the camel's back. And that's why the government has to be not dithering here. And that is exactly what they're doing. What they need to do is they need to take decisive action. We need a bit of leadership. We don't need commentary from Artesia or Tanisha or other senior ministers or independents who are backing this government. What we need is action. And the action that they can take is clearly laid out by Sinn Féin in the legislation that we published, and that is to cut the taxes on petrol, diesel and home heating oil to give relief to workers and families immediately as these prices skyrocket, and to make sure that money is put back into their pockets. Alongside that, we need to see strengthened regulation and legislation to make sure that price gouging isn't going on within the industry. But crucially, it is about reducing the cost of petrol and diesel and home heating oil, and that's something that the government has in its gift and something that we will be bringing to the Dáil when the Dáil returns, and making sure that that the government act.
Okay, what do you make of the response then from the Taoiseach Simon Harris when talking about this in recent days? He said the length and depth of the conflict in the Middle East would have a very material impact on the economic effect of the crisis. They're monitoring it very closely, very carefully, and they're keeping everything under review. But the fact that oil prices go down and up is a reminder of the volatility in the situation. Sort of suggesting that maybe it's too early to make a definitive move here and a definitive decision on taxes on fuel or other levers that they could press, as you say.
Well, I think that's just more dithering. I think that's appalling. I think tell any family in Kerry who their oil ran out last night and they're being charged nearly double what it cost to fill their tank. Ask them where they're going to get the extra 600, 700 euro to fill their tank now than what it cost 2 weeks ago. And the government says that they're keeping it under review. Families can't keep this under review. Families have to heat their homes. They have to fill their tanks. Families have to get to A and B. They have to drop the children to school this morning. They have to go to work. They have to fill their tanks with petrol and diesel. And when they're being charged over €2 at the pumps, it isn't lost on them that one of the biggest beneficiaries of these sky-high fuel prices is actually the government. The government brought in 38 million euro additional in taxes last week alone because of these sky-high fuel prices. And we know that nearly two-thirds of all the money that we spend to fill our cars at the pumps go into the coffers of the government in taxes. So the government can do this. It is about reducing excise duty on petrol, diesel and home heating oil. In home heating oil, we're asking that all of the carbon taxes is removed immediately. That would reduce the cost of a fill by 200 euro. And we're saying that you bring the taxes down on petrol and diesel close to where it is permissible under European law. So these are real leadership stuff. I hear the government talking about, you know, waiting, reviewing. And the reality is, Jerry, nobody knows how long this conflict is going to go on. We all hope that it will be over very soon. But even if it is, it doesn't mean that oil prices go back immediately to where they are. What we do know is that families are being fleeced. What we do know is that this comes on the back of a cost of living crisis that has already been raging. And we also know that this comes on back of a budget that the government spent 9.4 billion euro, but left workers worse off. So they have to act, and they have to act immediately.
Yeah. Just on that issue of carbon tax, what about the point that this crisis, doesn't that underline the need to move further away from fossil fuels and to use that money that's been raised over the last number of years to continue with the programme of retrofitting homes, making homes warmer, especially for the most vulnerable people who are most exposed, to ensure that they're not, at the whim or vulnerable to the whims of Donald Trump and whatever war he might start next week?
Of course, removing those taxes moves
us further away from that in a never-ending cycle of price shock after price shock after price shock.
Well, of course, we need to move away further from fossil fuels. And again, that's probably the legacy of this government, with surplus and record surpluses, that we're still in this situation, so dependent on others. But let's be very clear about this, Jerry. The argument by removing carbon taxes on home heating oil, that this somehow prevents you from insulating your home, is a nonsense argument. There is nothing in Irish law that says that this money is ring-fenced. That is a policy decision. It doesn't exist in law. And we have, last year, we took in 12.5 billion euro extra in taxes than we spent. Indeed, the government projected that it was going to be about 9 billion. In the space of about 8 weeks at the end of the year, they took in an extra 2.4 billion euro that they didn't even expect. So is this affordable? Of course this is affordable. This is about supporting families over the period of this crisis. It is a drop in the ocean in comparison to the surpluses that we're bringing in. And the question here is, why should people in Kerry and Donegal and elsewhere be paying the government extra money in taxes to try and heat their homes when the government has the resources to alleviate the pressure? A government is supposed to act in the interest of its citizens, but I would argue very clearly that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the independents that support them are doing contrary at this point in time.
Okay.
And the fact that we hired a government minister yesterday saying that these conversations haven't even happened at government level just shows you how far they've got their head stuck in the sands on this
issue. Okay, and let me ask you, so if they were to do it tomorrow, how long would it go on for? How much tax would they be giving up? How much money would the Exchequer be losing, depending on the length of this crisis? And what would happen to government services then?
So the emergency legislation that I have produced that we are bringing to the Dáil will allow for this to continue for 6 months. But crucially, we argue that the emergency period would be 6 months. But crucially, what is allowed in this legislation is that the minister has to review the market prices of oil in the international market, and the price that has been charged at the pumps, and the cost of living pressures that families are under. And the minister has the power to vary these supports either up or down. So, Jerry, if the war ended in the next week or two, if oil prices started to come back down in a month's time, of course the tap could be turned off. Could be turned off to a trickle, or it could be stopped altogether.
It could be, but if you were to put something, let's say the war does go on, or oil prices stay high even after a conflict ends, does it become politically unpalatable then for any government or any minister to come in and say, actually, do you know what, I'm putting that tax back on? And the longer it goes on, the harder it is to remove it. And all of a sudden, then you're losing serious money.
Well, first of all, this is well affordable. Let's be clear, even before we actually take off the fact that, you know, we are benefiting. Remember, the state took in 38 million euro last week, more in taxes because of these sky high prices. Then this is well affordable over the next period of time.
Is it affordable, though? I mean, we've been warned all the time by the Fiscal Advisory Council that a lot of the government tax they're bringing in is from US multinationals and corporations, a huge amount of tax coming from a small few companies. Volatile world they're in, that could disappear in a short period of time.
What we have here is a shock to people's household incomes, a shock to people's pockets, and government need to respond. Indeed, the European Commission, just the day before yesterday, came out with a statement asking governments across Europe to reduce the taxes on energy, because that's what you do. That's what a responsible government does in response to a shock. Remember, 12.5 billion euro is the surplus that was brought in last year. That's not magic money. That is money that is there, that is available to support families and workers at this point in time. And let's be clear about this here. The government has no problem dishing out that money to landlords and developers and speculators. They have no problem with the two banks that took in 3.5 billion euro of profit, which they announced just last week, paying 1% effective rate on their tax. So, like, there's absolutely a priority here for government to support families and workers. And this is exactly what the government need to do. Have they done this before? Yes. They've done this before in response to the war in Ukraine. Sinn Féin forced them into taking this action. Again, that time they dithered and dithered. But this time people don't have the luxury of time, because this comes on the back of serious cost of living pressures. And I'm very conscious of the survey that was carried out last year, which tells us that 1 in 4 adults have less than 500 euro of savings, of a buffer. So the question is where do they get when you're charged for a 500 euro litre of home heating oil and it's costing you nearly 900 quid. Where do you get that money? And why should people be forking out that money when they know that a lot of that is going into the pockets of the Minister for Finance and the state's coffer? It is simply immoral for that to happen at this point in time.
Final point on a separate issue, Piers Doherty. The British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, visiting Northern Ireland this morning before he travels to Cork for the UK-Ireland summit with Taoiseach Micheál Martin. What would you like to hear from him in terms of the British-Irish relationship now and issues both in the north and with us here in terms of what needs to be done to, I suppose, continue repairing the relationship that was severed and damaged severely over Brexit in the last few years?
Well, I think that's the key word in relation to repairing, because not only has it been severed over Brexit, but it was also severed over the Tory stance in relation to a number of key issues, particularly in relation to dealing with the past, which led to the Irish government taking a case at an international level against the British government. I think that some of that repair has been done, and I think we need to continue to build on that. But there are still serious issues that need to be raised in relation to truth recovery and families in the north who have been impacted as a result of the conflict, and all sides who are still seeking the search for truth. The British government continues to obfuscate and to block truth recovery in those issues, and particularly in relation to the Dublin Monaghan bombing, where the files have still not been handed over. So I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done in relation to that. The British government also are the ones that hold the keys to the exchequer in terms of the north, and I think it's important that they actually hear the calls of our colleagues in the north in relation to supports for cost of living during this crisis as well. And I think these are issues that need to be raised. But crucially as well, the British government isn't bystanders in what is happening in the Middle East. And Micheál Martin will need to raise the fact that, you know, what is very clearly an illegal invasion in Ukraine, and not that anybody has any truck or love to what is happening in that regressive government in Ukraine. But the British government is also facilitating what is happening there. And that's something that needs to be raised, because this isn't without impact, as we discussed, on Irish people.
Okay, Piers, final question for you. What should Micheál Martin say to Donald Trump when he visits the Oval Office next week?
I think what he needs to say very clearly is that Donald Trump portrays himself as a man of peace, but he has started many wars across the world, that we stand full square with UN and international laws, that America and their support for Israel is continuing to violate international laws, has no UN mandate, and is participating in the genocide in Gaza and the attacks in Iran, which didn't have a UN mandate, which was an act of aggression, have to stop. And the US administration's support for that is something that that Ireland, as a supporter, as a neutral country, as a backer of international law, stands foursquare against.
Should he say all that respectfully, in a respectful tone?
I think Micheál Martin has been around the blocks for so many years. He's been Minister for Foreign Affairs. We know the tricky individual that Donald Trump is. So I think there is a way to get your point across without being insulting, but also being true to the views of the Irish people, to the views that we are a neutral country. I don't think anybody will want to see Micheál Martin over there grovelling to an Irish president. I think we need to be proud of who we are. We are Irish. We have a colonial history. We have fought a British Empire and won part of it. We've still got a job to do, Gerry, in relation to the six counties. But we stand for neutrality, and we have an international record that is second to none. And I think we need to be standing full square and talking very confident but very respectfully, but very directly also to a US president. And I think that that's what the Irish people expect. So it's about not being insulting, not being, when you're invited to the White House, but it is about taking the opportunity to make it very clear on behalf of the Irish people and the international community. Like, what is happening in Gaza is simply appalling. And it is a genocide before our eyes. And let's be clear about it. It wouldn't and couldn't happen if it wasn't for US administration support.
That's Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty giving his view on what needs to happen now and should be happening already from the point of view of the Irish government. That is the latest situation with regards to what they are saying. People for Profit out there as well, talking about the need as well for the government to act straight away and give more certainty and put a cap on the price of petrol and diesel. That's what they're calling for this morning.